we come before you and we bow down and we recognize that you are God and we are not. We recognize that you are worthy of worship. And Lord, we've been warming up, praising you this evening, and we want to continue to live lives that praise you. Lord, we seek your direction through your word. We seek your will, you know, in our lives, and we seek your touch for those in our body who need your touch spiritually, mentally, and physically. Lord, we do pray for our sister Barb that you would strengthen her and bring her home soon. We pray for Pastor Bob that you would just renew his strength as he's caring for his bride. We pray for those in our body who are ill, who are suffering. Lord, Charlene, Tom, Dee, Mary Ellen, Lord, and so many others. Lord, we need your touch, our minds, our hearts, and our bodies. Lord, we look forward to your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I got a question. You don't have to answer it. You have to think about it. Who was an example, or who taught you how to pray? We're going to look at an old man who, when we started this book of Daniel in our home fellowship, he was a young man, teenager. Now he's maybe in his 80s, and we're going to see what we can learn from him. So we are going to be in Daniel chapter 9 tonight. Starts out telling us, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. I mean, Daniel is saying, hey, this is the point of history that this book is located. This event, historical event, is located here in history at this time. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So, if we stop and say, well, what's happening here? What do I see? Daniel is studying God's word. Daniel is in the Word. He's studying scriptures. He's reading in Jeremiah the prophet. And as a student, he's not just trying to get through this, you know, in the morning so he can get his day started. As a student, he understands something. He has, click, hey, Jeremiah's talking about 70 years, the desolation of Jerusalem. Let me see, I was 14 when I was taken in captivity, you know, this happened. Wow, you know, we're about 3 years away from 70 years. And so Daniel's reaction is, boy, I need to start praying. It's not that he's going to say, hey, okay, I'm off the hook. I can wait for 2.5 years before I start to pray. I'm going to start praying. And so in verse 3, it says, then I set my face towards the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. This is determined prayer. You know, hey, I'm going to set my face towards God. I'm going to, you know, humble myself, fasting and sackcloth. Notice the connection between Bible study and prayer. Spending time in God's word should lead us to prayer. Prayer should lead us to God's word. They work together. And here, you know, Daniel realizes that, and, you know, we've got chapters and verse numbers, and so we can say, oh, Jeremiah 25 or Jeremiah 29. For Daniel, it's, I was just reading the scroll, and man, 70 years. And it leads him to prayer. It leads him to humility. And so he starts off, verse 4, and I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandment. How does Daniel begin his prayer? He doesn't just jump right in and say, okay, God, you know, we're in year 67 or 68 or somewhere around there. What are you going to do? No. He starts with worship. He starts with recognizing who he's talking to. This is the, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name part. Off the bat, it is a prayer of worship. This is, you know, an example for us to consider. When we pray, is worship part of our prayer? Do we take the time to think, who am I talking to? Whose throne room am I really in? Daniel here, he realizes where he is. Lord, you are great. You are awesome. You are merciful. You keep covenant. All of these things regarding God, he is remembering. And then the next verse, you know, we've got the worship. Now we've got the confession. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done, whoa. Shouldn't Daniel have been praying, Lord, they sinned? Lord, look at what they did. I was just a 14-year-old kid in Jerusalem. I had nothing to do with this. It's their fault. I'm a victim. I mean, victimhood's a big thing in our culture now, isn't it? Now, there's no complaint about others. There's no, you know, seeking to blame others. There's no victimhood. Even though this wasn't his fault, it was his fault. He's part of the nation. He's part of the people. And he's recognizing, Lord, we have sinned. Our nation has sinned. I mean, we're in a very political climate right now, aren't we? How often do you pray, Lord, our nation has sinned? Or is the prayer, Lord, look at what the Democrats are doing. Or Lord, look at what the Republicans are doing. He knows what they're doing. Our nation has sinned. Lord, our nation is murdering babies. Lord, our nation has turned its back to you. I'm part of that nation. Daniel, and you know, in Ezekiel, it even points out, you know, if these three righteous men were in a city, it wouldn't save them. And those three righteous men that are singled out by Ezekiel include Daniel. I mean, he was the cream of the crop when it came to living an exemplary, blameless life. Yet he recognizes, man, we have sinned. Man, forgive us our sins. Isn't that in the example Jesus gave us? We have sinned. We've departed. Verse 6, neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. Daniel's focus is on, hey, this is my nation. These are my people. Lord, I've got something I want to pray about. I've been studying your word. Something's come to mind. But I got to get my priorities straight. first it's worship. Now it's confession. And he recognizes, oh Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of faith. In verse 7. As it is to this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. I like something Lloyd Pulley said. He said, Daniel is not comparing himself to other men. He's comparing himself to God. That is why he says we. You know, we can always find somebody that we think, I'm better than that person. In fact, most religions, you know, bank on that. Being able to look around and say, oh, better than him, you know, I've got more points, I've got less years in purgatory than that person. But when we compare ourselves to God, when we say, great and awesome God, we say, keeps his commandments, his covenants, he's merciful, he's just, oh boy. When we focus on God and who he is in our prayers, then we decrease and he increases. Again, oh Lord, to us belongs shame of face, in verse 8. To our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Here, Daniel is, again, looking to God. He's recognizing the sin, but he's recognizing, Lord, because of you, we have hope. To you belong mercy. To you belong forgiveness. That's still true today. You know, through Jesus Christ, what Jesus has done, we have mercy, we have forgiveness, and we take the time to recognize, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We take the time to recognize, man, I'm a sinner. Like verse 9 reminds me of Romans 5:8. I'm a sinner. But while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. To God belongs mercy and forgiveness. So far in this prayer, how many petitions has he made? How many, Lord, can you do this and that? And none yet. Verse 10, you know, again, he's focusing on the nation. He's focusing on the fact that all have sinned. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, our God, to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by his servant, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. You know, no excuses. No, I didn't know. It's, hey, Moses told us. You take time to read God's word, there are no surprises. You recognize, yeah, these are things that God considers to be sin. These are things that God calls us to do. These are things where God encourages us. This just makes me think here as I look at verse 11, where he says, all Israel has sinned. How do we pray for America? And I say this out of conviction. I mean, because there are times where I'm just looking at the news and saying, Lord, why don't you get them? Just nuke, you know, San Francisco. Lord, I'll even volunteer. You know, if I'm going to have a bad attitude, I'll go to San Francisco and then you can nuke it. That's a lousy attitude, isn't it? This is a lot better attitude. Lord, yeah, we've sinned. But to our God belongs mercy and forgiveness. Verse 12, and he has confirmed his words. Now, here he's recognizing, God, you keep your promises. That is something we can do in our prayers. God, you keep your promises. These are things that you promise. These are things, well, okay, I don't see a promise for that. I kind of, you know, would like this to happen. But Lord, you've confirmed your words. You say you're faithful to do. And again, so as we pray, we can recognize, God, you're faithful. So many attributes of God have been brought out of this prayer so far. Again, mercy, keeping covenant, being awesome. So in verse 12, he says, you've confirmed your words, which you spoke against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as has been done to Jerusalem. God, you keep your word. 13, as it is written in the law of Moses. Again, God gives his word. God gives prophecy. Some of that prophecy is awesome. You know, unto you a son is born. Unto you, or a child is born. Unto you a son is given. I'm amazed, Israel is God's chosen people. And some of the promises God makes are not promises I want, to apply to myself. But some people say, oh, the church has replaced Israel. No, and I don't want it to, because there's some pretty harsh, things that God still is going to fulfill, prophecies he's going to fulfill to bring his people around. But 13, he does recognize, again, he goes to God's word in his prayer. It challenges me. How much of my prayer is anchored in God's word? How much of my prayer is God's word? As it is written in the law of Moses, he prays, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God. Prayerlessness is a sin. God wants to hear from us. God wants to talk to us. And we are so busy. Sometimes we get halfway through the day and we realize, oh, I haven't prayed. Or, well, I only have enough time to read the Bible or pray, and so I'll just read a verse and get my day started. We have not made our prayer before God, people, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. What God promised in his word, prophesied for Israel, God kept his promise. We like a promise-keeping God. There's some promises, though, I'm sure we'd think, well, that's not a promise I'd really like to be kept. But he keeps his promises. But in the midst of this, the worship continues. Yeah, he says, the Lord has kept this disaster in mind, brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. He takes the time to recognize God's righteousness. And this is something in prayer, it's not like, okay, let me get the worship part out of the way so I can get to the petitions. Here it's, let's get the worship part and petitions. No, let's worship some more and confession and no, I want to worship some more. The Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, did Daniel need to remind God that he did that? No. He needed to remind himself. That's another blessing and benefit of tying our prayers in with time in God's word. Because God remembers all of this. We don't need to remind God. We need to remind ourselves. We need to remind ourselves, Lord, in the book of Acts, you did this for your church. Lord, in the book of Genesis, you did this. Lord, you saved me because when Satan tries to tell me to doubt my salvation, I can go to your word. And I know it says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I've called upon the name of the Lord. Therefore, I'm saved. Man. Make the word of God part of your prayers. So yeah, he remembers. Lord, you brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to your righteousness. Now we're going to get, hey, Lord, I got some things to ask you. According to your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are reproach to all those around us. He's reckoning, Lord, it's because of us, our sins, we're reproach, but Lord, let your anger turn away. But it's your righteous, your fury, your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, your people. He's keeping everything in the context of who God is. He's looking to God, not for men. He's making a request, you know, for others. And, kind of interesting, he brings up, you know, hey, you brought your people out of Egypt. So, you've done it once. We're getting close to 70 years. I know you can bring your people out of a hard place. Lord, we're in Babylon right now. We've got the Persians have moved in, but Lord, we're still in captivity. But Lord, you did it once. You can do it again. Knowing Scripture helps them to be able to make that prayer. So verse 17, now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary. Let's not name it and claim it. This is, Lord, for your sake, for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on the sanctuary, which is desolate. This is Jerusalem. This is a city that was destroyed. This is a city Jeremiah prophesied about 70 years. And so here's the request, Lord, let your face shine upon your sanctuary. Verse 18, oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation and the city which is called by your name, for we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. You know, Lord, it's all you. It's all God. We didn't earn the end of 70 years of captivity, just like none of us here earned salvation. And it's all God. Because of your great mercies. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. This is Daniel's prayer. We read in the book of Daniel of him praying. Now he gets thrown in the lion's den because of prayer. Other times he prays. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, you got this dream that needs to be dealt with. We're going to have a prayer meeting. We see that he started out as a teen of prayer, and now he's an old man of prayer. This is here is, you know, a recorded prayer. It's not just saying, I prayed. We get to see this is how Daniel prays. What an example. What a model. And how he wraps this up. Oh, Lord, do not delay for your own sake. Lord, I'm concerned about you. Kind of reminds me of Moses. You know, when God was saying, hey, Moses, why don't I wipe out the people and start over with you? And Moses says, oh, Lord, for your sake, we don't want the Egyptians bad-mouthing you and saying, oh, God couldn't, you know, get his people to the promised land, and so he had to wipe them out. You know, Moses had that concern for God's sake, for his name. And we see that here with Daniel. So, what can we learn from Daniel's prayer? I supposedly learned to pray when I went to Catholic school. And so when I was Daniel's age, when he starts this book, I had learned these prayers, like the Lord's Prayer. And I knew them by rote. And I could say them, you know, repeatedly. You know, I'd go to confession and they'd say, okay, say 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers, you know, and 10 Act of Contritions. I still remember how to say the Hail Mary. I don't know how to say the Act of Contrition. I don't know of any former Catholics. Maybe because I never really was contrite. But I learned the words to be repeated, but I never really paid attention to those words. And so I needed to learn how to pray, to be taught how to pray by people like Daniel. And this prayer, people like Hezekiah. And I love his prayer. You know, he gets his letter from the king of Babylon and he just goes to the temple and puts it out in front of God and says, hey, God, look at this. Abraham. You know, David in the Psalms. And in Matthew 5 and in Luke 11, I come back to that Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught me to pray. I had to unlearn what the nuns taught me. Jesus is the one who taught me to pray. Because I could sit there with his disciples when his disciples came up to him and said, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, okay, pray in this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's my King James or Catholic coming through, but essentially, Jesus says, okay, here's an example. You start out with worship. Daniel, follow that example, starting out with worship, recognizing who God is. Take the time. We've got so many things to pray about. We've got sick people. Things come over the prayer chain. You know, and it's a quick prayer. Oh, Lord, help this person. Take the time to worship. Lord, awesome God. Lord, you are not surprised by this. For you know everything. Lord, you are all-knowing. You are all-loving. You are all-powerful. Lord, you know this situation better than we do. Lord, this person needs your touch. This person needs encouragement. This person needs discernment. This person needs a healing. Take the time to worship. That's what Jesus taught us. That's what Daniel's doing. That's what others do. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're worthy of being worshiped. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. And again, that always reminds me, it's an acknowledgement. Lord, your will's not being done on earth. It is being done in heaven, not down here. Kind of what we see. Lord, we're sinning. Our nation's a mess. Whether it's Israel in Daniel's time or the U.S. right now. Lord, your will be done in America as it is in heaven. Your will be done in Israel as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. The next part. No, it's not, hey, Lord, give me a year's supply of steak. Just give me my daily bread. It's simple. This is the immediate need. You know, Daniel's request. It's not grandiose. It's, Lord, cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary. I know from your word, we got the 70-year thing. Your city's been desolate. Your temple's been destroyed. Lord, cause your face to shine. Because of your righteous deeds, because of your great mercy, because you're awesome, because you keep your word. And then in Jesus' example, forgive us our sins or debts as we forgive our debtors. Take the time for confession. And none of us are like a Daniel. None of us get mentioned as, you know, these are the top three guys, you know, as far as righteousness, you know. My name is not in that list with Noah or Lot. Not Lot. Job, thank you. And Daniel. You know, I'm not even close to that list. And so, Lord, forgive my sins. Lord, I'm coming to you as a sinner. And Lord, I've got a sister who's hurting right now who needs your touch. But it's not my righteousness that's getting me into your throne room. It's your righteousness. It's you keeping your word. It's what you've done. And because of that, Lord, I can enter and I can say, Lord, clean me, clean my mind. Let me be able to focus on this need because it's overwhelming. I'm overwhelmed by it, and I'm sure my sister that I'm praying for is overwhelmed by it. But Lord, I want to come to you not in my own pride. I want to come because you've cleansed me. You've forgiven me. And we have these examples of prayer that we can go to. Jesus gave us an example. Daniel is an example. Have any of you ever struggled how to pray? And you've opened up the book of Psalms to try and, you know, prime the pump there. Yeah. It's like, know, Daniel opened up God's word. He's got Jeremiah. He's referring to, you know, the book of Exodus and, you know, all of these other promises. Daniel primed the pump in God's word. We need to prime the pump in God's word if we're going to be praying. Got a couple other things to share, and then we are going to pray. But I do want to point out that in verse 20 it says, "Now while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering." What's happening here? Gabriel, you know, angelic being, second time he's mentioned, you know, earlier in Daniel, he comes to Daniel with an answer from God. Here, hey, he's back again. The next time we see him, it's going to be, you know, Zacharias, John the Baptist's dad. He's going to show up. And then he's going to talk to Mary. And so he's got this stuff where he just comes out and has these messages. And so Gabriel shows up while he is praying. I think it's, you know, important to recognize it was while he was praying. But we don't know how long he's praying. Maybe this was his prayer and, you know, after 8 minutes of starting to pray, Gabriel, boom, is there. Maybe he's been doing this for days, because we know in a later chapter, man, he is praying for weeks before he gets an answer. But here, we're not told, and so not every answer comes immediately. Not every answer is instantaneous, but the answers come. So the angel Gabriel shows up. In verse 22, he informed me and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I have come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter, and understand the vision." I mean, to me, that's almost the best part of the answer to prayer. Daniel, you're greatly beloved. I mean, everything else, you know, is kind of frosting on the cake. And that's something to realize in our prayers. You know, sometimes, "Lord, what are you doing? And I'm not sure, and I'm not even sure how to pray about this. And oh, but I'm greatly beloved. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." I mean, something that we get to fall back on. Man, I'm greatly beloved. And here is the beginning of the answer, and I'm not going to really spend time explaining this, but the answer from Gabriel starts out, 70 weeks are determined for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Huh? I was just praying about, Lord, the temple and the 70 years being over, and your answer is, there's 77s, 70 weeks, 77s determined, and there's the transgression isn't finished. I thought we had 70 years, and then we got to go back to Jerusalem, and you're saying the transgression's not finished? Your reconciliation for iniquity? I mean, sometimes the answer we get is not what we expect. I'm sure Daniel did not expect the vision that he's going to have here in the rest of chapter 9. He was just looking, Lord, forgive our sins, and Lord, like your people that were in the wilderness in the Exodus from Egypt. Lord, let us be able to go to the Holy Land. Has that ever happened to you? You've prayed for something, and the answer is not quite what you expected it to be. But it's the answer that was needed. This is the answer that God had prepared Daniel for. Through all of those years of praying. I had asked the question, who taught you to pray? I mean, I kind of shared mine because I had to unlearn what the nuns taught me. I don't remember my parents ever teaching me about prayer. But Daniel, very clearly, as a teenager, when he gets in exile and he shows up in Babylon, he knows how to pray. I wonder who taught him how to pray. Who can we teach how to pray? Who can we be an example for? Who can we be a Daniel for? Our kids are watching us, our grandkids, or the kids in Sunday school. And they're watching us. Can we be a Daniel to them, an example of prayer? And that's my final, application here. And we saw Daniel pray, and we saw what he emphasized, and we saw what he's an example of. But we also see an example of his parents, maybe a Sabbath school teacher having an impact in his life as a teenager, being an example of prayer and teaching him how to pray. And there's a lot here that we can learn. We're not even talking about the prophecy part. Because we get to pray every day, and we get to have our prayers inspired by spending time in God's Word every day. We've got a lot of things to pray about in this body. Again, our nation, our leaders, they belong to us. Those who are sick, those who are hurting, those who are lost. We've got prodigals represented in this room. And so, we're going to finish the service now, Daniel, as far as, YouTube and Dee and those, we'll say goodnight. What I would like us to do is break up into groups of like four or five, and to spend the last 10 minutes praying. What comes to your heart? We have Charlene here. Need a prayer. We've got Barb, in YouTube land at the hospital. Need a prayer. I wish I knew Mary Ellen was watching. Dee watching. So, Debbie's here, hiding behind Donna. We can pray for her. We have people who need, but what we really need is Jesus. So I'll pray, and then let's break up and pray some more. Father God, Lord, thank you for the challenge we see in the life of somebody who had it rough. Gone into captivity as a teenager. Thrown into lion's dens. Having to deal with, in a political climate. Lord, and yet he's faithful, and yet he takes time to read, and he takes time to pray. Thank you for Daniel's example. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit now to kind of put things into practice. In Jesus' name, amen.